Welcome to Fusion Talk.
With Anouk and Steve.
So, mon chéri, you were in the Paris in the last few days.
Yes, I was.
No, you're supposed to talk with a French accent.
No, I don't like the French accent.
Ooh, I hope we don't have too many French listeners.
No, Paris was very nice, actually. The conference was nice. The talk that I did was good. Even it was the last one of the conference, I still had a few people in the room. So
they saved the best to last.
If you would say it like that,
look,
yes.
Don't knock yourself. Yeah, they saved the best to last. You finished the event off.
Yes,
I Well, did. Actually, I'm sure they had a drink afterwards.
They had a prize winning afterwards, no drinks, but yes, the event was finished.
So this was the Modern Workspace Conference?
Yes.
And you enjoyed yourself?
Yes.
Good, good, good. And you had, I was online listening to you with 722 other people. Sorry, 7.2 other people. I don't know who the 0.2 was, but maybe that was Moraine. Moraine was the 0.2, and then there were seven other people. Sorry, Moraine, couldn't resist. No, it was good. I again, was going to put something in for that. Chirac and I was actually going to put something together on Viva, but we never got our heads together and couldn't do it. So,
no.
And Paris is an amazing city.
Yeah, but in the meantime, when I was in Paris, we received some good news.
We did receive some good news. If only I could remember what it was.
We are going to do our Fusion Talk session again at Leipzig.
Leipzig, yes, we are. That is very, very true. Yes, it's all right. I keep getting distracted by the great pictures in this place. So there's some artwork on the walls. So Leipzig is in September.
Yes.
And that's neat. But yes, we're doing that session again. So we'll see where we go. But that's fine. So yeah, that was the speaking. And I think we have Warsaw separately doing separate things. Marina and I are doing the we're doing governance workshop on the Thursday. And you are presenting on the Friday.
Yes, true.
What are you doing Friday?
The same again like I did in Paris.
Intranet. Okay, well, I sat and watched that online, so I'll give you some pointers on how to make it better.
Yes.
Conceited as I am.
Before Warsaw, Moraine and I will be speaking together in...
Lausanne.
He is ready to lose the battle again.
Except that it'll be easier this time because he's not going to be there.
No, he will. I will dial him in.
That's cool. It is speaker season. There's lots and lots of events around. So it's good news. So everybody, welcome to Fusion Talk. It's Anouk and Steve here again, talking business and development and all that kind of stuff. And today we're going to talk about tools, or one particular tool that we both use a lot of.
Yes, we both use a lot of mind maps in our business life. And to be honest, not only in the business life, also in the private life.
Do you really?
Yes.
So, you know, you decide to do a mind map about planning your Paris weekend? Because you went with your man at Paris weekend. You didn't just go to the conference. You took advantage of Le Gay Paris.
Yes, we went together. I didn't use the mind map to plan that out, but I'm also doing the charity event, and the entire roadbook of every single day is in a mind map.
Nice. I've used mind maps for many, many, many years. And what we're going to try and cover today is really how they can be shared as a common way of putting content in. How they can spark creativity and how they actually do work, and why people bother with those, why they're better than lists and lists and lists of things, and also how they can outline features and functionality of your development and applications that can basically be used in all kinds of different ways. So by the time we finish this, you will know what a podcast is, some examples of how to use it, and how podcast, a mind map is, and how to use it. You completely threw my head.
Some ways of creating them.
Yeah, and ways of creating them. So that's what you will be able to do. So if you've been interested in mind maps, then let's get ourselves into them. So where do they come from? Well, for me, I've been using mind maps for, oh God, can't remember. I'm trying to think out what job I was at when I first found them and I set myself up with all the tools. I think it may well have been around 1980 something or other, just after the 80s. So maybe early 90s. We'll go with early 90s. So that means I've been doing these things for 35 years.
Yes. I started with them. I think I still was at school. So I've learned about them on school and then I started using them 20 years ago or something.
Amazing. Amazing. They do them at school. That is really cool. So you obviously had a forward-thinking teacher.
Yes.
Because so, it is very rare that that happens.
Yeah. So the teacher we had learned us the mind mapping tool and how to work with them to make our studies.
Yeah.
To prepare our studies for the exams and all of that.
That's another great tool. They're very, very good for taking notes and for taking a revision and reminders. Because of the way that they work, your brain remembers them better. But yep. We'll get into that in a little while, I think. So in terms of where mind maps came from, and if anybody really wants to kind of have a look at the way the brain works and the way that mind maps work, there's a book by a guy called Tony Bazan called Use Your Head.
It's a very good book. I've just finished reading it.
Good. So can you remember all the planets then, starting from the sun, working your way out?
No.
So Tony uses that as an example to remember that I'm not even going to attempt to remember them. So how to do mnemonics and how to remember things in mind mapping. But yes, it does the mind mapping stuff as well. So
one particular part of the book I will always remember was he shows you some 10 words or something.
Yes.
Or 20 words, and you need to remind as many as possible. And the technique he is explaining to do that, to fast do it, it's very interesting.
One, two sticks, three eggs, four. Yes. Yep. And it's all about visualization. That's what it is. We remember, well, people always think differently. So some people are very good at analytical kind of stuff, right? Not many of us do that. But we kind of all remember how to get to the local cinema, or we all remember how to drive to the supermarket. And it's not just about how often you do it. It's the fact that it's a visual memory. And yes, there are some people that can't drive tough shit, but it's easier to remember those kinds of things. Comic books, you know, they're good for kids because they visualize it and they remember what the characters look like without necessarily seeing the words. So it's used as a creative memory tool, and that's what it's designed to do. And the reason is, do we think in lists?
No.
Do you think I need to do these things today? And unless you write them down in a list, do you have that list in your head? We don't. Your brain doesn't think in that order. We were just talking about this room we're in. So when you look at the room, if everybody just takes open your eyes, or you listen to this podcast, if you're driving, maybe don't do this, but just look around you. All right. And as you scan the area, you will make note of things that you see, but you'll more think about what is next to it and what's that image that you've seen and how close something is and how far away it is. And that's the idea, is to try and take our logical list kind of scenario or our notes and link them to each other. So if you have a cup and saucer, which is on top? Cup is on top of a saucer, unless you're actually keeping the tea warmer and then the saucer's on top of the cup. So depending on the state, depends which order they're in. All right. Do you have DVDs? No, you're not a film fanatic. Do you have books?
Books, yes.
All right, you have books. Do you have your books in a particular order?
Yes.
All right. And would Tom put them in the same order?
No,
because we have different kinds of processes. I'm fairly sure that you're a woman, so I know you're a woman, because I'm looking at you, but you probably choose them in color order.
No.
I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody who thought I was being insulting. I was, but I do apologize for it. But no. But everybody thinks differently, don't they?
It's the same like my herbs. I have one drawer in my kitchen with all of the herbs, and they have a particular order as well. And Tom is making a sport of it to replace them when he uses them. And every time I need to place them back on the same spot. So, yes, I do order things.
So that's how mind maps work. So basically what we're trying to do here is we're trying to create a way of registering and listing information in the way that your brain works. And your brain actually doesn't work in lists. We know that, okay? But what it does do is it works in billions and billions of star-shaped connections, electrons and stuff like that flow along them. And where they touch is actually a memory. So the idea really is that you could end up bouncing around from one thing to another. So everybody has said, oh, yes, I need to go and buy some jam from the supermarket. And as soon as they take bread out of a cupboard a little bit, 2 hours later, they'll go, oh, yeah, I must remember to do the jam because of that association with bread and jam. So the idea of a mind map is that you're trying to group things in a very visual way. And because of that, you end up with a picture, and it's why it's called a map. So you effectively start off with an image in the middle of it. And the idea of imaging is to try and create what you're doing. So you need coloured pens. Do you have coloured pens for your mind maps?
Yes.
Excellent.
A lot of them.
Colour, of course, stimulates creativity.
Yes, and not only it stimulates the creativity, but it's also immediately showing on which ID you are working or on which part of the map it's something is related to.
Yeah.
So
if I was, so basically, we'll carry on just finishing this off a little bit. So there's lots of different names for these mind maps, herringbone diagrams, linked diagrams, and anything else. But we start off with a center point, which is usually a description of whatever it is.
A description and an image.
Yeah, it could be a word, it could be a shape, it could be anything else. And then we would draw a line for one particular subject. So it could well be, if we're talking about from a business perspective, it may well be that I'm building an application for a particular department. So yep. I might have a line that sort of says audience. And the idea is you put one line and one word. So the idea is you're just prompting your memory because you're not trying to say, put a sentence in that sort of says everything, which is not easy. I don't do that very easily. I have to put more than one word normally, but the true sense of the word, you try and put one word in. And then, of course, you would have subcategories of that, and then you just put sublines off it. I know you know how to do this, but it's everybody else that may or may not. So,
no, but it is hard to put in everything in one word. You really need to think about the words. And when you are starting from scratch and you are using a mind map as a brainstorm tool, it will be easier than when you are using your mind map to make a summary for studying something or something.
Yeah.
Because if you are studying to something, you are willing to put in too many words in there to make sure you don't forget any important thing.
True, but the idea of putting single words in, it's easier for you to remember the associations. So you obviously add to it, a bit like we talked about bread and jam. You might prefer strawberry jam over raspberry jam or blackcurrant jam or whatever. You don't need to necessarily think about what flavor jam it is. You just, have bread. Yep. Oh, I need to buy some jam. And then you think about what jam you might want. So it's about association. But I agree with you. It is difficult to put one word in. The upside is that if I was creating this application with this team, I might, in the middle of my thought process, so I might start off and sit there and put audience in and then start listing who would be using this application. But then I'm start thinking, it would be cool in this application if when this particular team looks at it, they can see it from this perspective. So I can instantly start a line called views.
Yes.
And then I can start to describe a kind of view that I would need. And I can then put a dotted line from that view name through to the team.
Or an arrow or something like that.
Exactly. Yes. Link it in some way. And so I have done that association just the same way as the brain works. So I'm thinking about bread in my head And somewhere along the way, there's another piece of the brain touching it that's the jam. And those two are then associated mm-hmm. with each other. Of course, there's millions of these things. And they, so it's the same with our mind map. So we can use those mind map tools to be able to document any kinds of information.
Yes. One of my list was a practice for myself to see if my CV was still up to date.
Ah. Yes, I think you sent me that.
For social media, for putting it on LinkedIn and all of that information, because you want to have the right information in there. So I did it with a mind map.
With a mind map.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, because that you would associate, you would, it's a great tool for that. You would talk about a particular place you worked, then you might talk about the job you did, and then you start listing technologies, and so you could start another technology list off, and then you remembered the kind of projects that you do with, because you're associating them in a different kind of way within the process, within the organization. So that's a great tool for that.
It is.
There are other ways of emphasizing importance. So we can have different colored lines. So you can actually, the technologies are in green or whatever, and, you know, dates might be in blue. But you can also put thinner or thicker lines. And they encourage you on a mind map. So if you look at a Tony Bazan mind map, you'll see that the lines are quite thick from the center and then they go thinner. So they create that idea that the nearer you are to the middle, the more important things you put in. So it's the thicker line. And then as they're further away down the line, you can make them less important. So you can prioritize things. And also different colors. We've talked about colors. Mm-hmm. You can have different shapes. So you could actually have a square line or a triangular line coming off, so it goes to a point. You can have round shapes on the ends of them, depending on how you want to decorate it. And you don't need to put a word in. If you're talking about strawberry jam, you might just want to put a picture of a strawberry in there.
Yes.
And again, the idea is to stimulate your brain and get it pointing in a particular direction.
It is. And if you are using this tool, it's also easier to give the mind map to someone else and start working on it as well, because they most of the time have an idea about what you will are willing to talk about or what you want to say or what you want to do, and they can expand it. And then you have a multiple person's tool in there at one place.
True. So yes, you can collaborate over these, you can share them and everything else. Let's just talk about how we create a mind map. So in the good old fashioned days of Egyptians, when they first created this with their feathers and pens and but no, I mean, when you were at school, you did them, I'm sure, with colored pencils and paper.
Yes.
Nowadays, of course, we probably use a touch screen and a digital pen.
Most of the time I still start on with pen and paper.
Something nice about it, isn't there? I'm doing it the traditional way.
Yes, so I started there, and then I will do it with a tool ending up and to have a nice overview image, which is easier to share it with someone.
Yeah, okay. So you can use pen and paper. You can obviously use touch screens. There are tools around. Yes. Very much software tools around to do mind mapping. There is actually a standard for exchanging mind maps between these tools, but it's not very widely known. If you go for the more expensive tools, you can actually export it. You can create presentations from it. You can create Word documents from it. So you'll be able to use that creative process to create the map and notes and images, and then press a button and it will turn into a Word diagram.
I use an online tool to create them, which every machine I am working on, I can log into their site and I can work on them.
Yeah.
So it's nice to do when you are on a road trip or something like that.
No, I agree with that. I know the Bazan organization had their own software at one point, and it was networkable. And so you were able to sort of store it in the cloud and be able to create it, but still have all the local tools as well.
I do think I'm using the one they suggested in their book.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you got the updated book, the 30-year release or whatever it is? Because when that book came out, trust me, it was pens and paper and
but
crayons.
They are suggesting a software in their book.
They used to have their own organization. They built it from scratch. And I have license for that somewhere along the way. And I have the Mind Manager one as well. The Mind Manager one is a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
But it also is more complex and bloody expensive. I think they've now do it on an annual license, so I don't think I bothered renewing
but
it.
But now we are coming back at our last podcast. They have some free accounts as well.
Yes, that's
that
true.
That you can try and see whatever you want to have.
No, that's very, very true. So getting used to mind maps is actually a really strong tool. I recommend it to anybody. But it is habits, so you have to keep doing it. You know, it is just another tool otherwise. So yes, get into the habit of using it for note taking, for whiteboarding. When you know, surprise everybody by getting it on a whiteboard and use that for your creative session, or whatever with your drawings. Try using it for presentations. That's really quite cool. I certainly use it for developing courseware and workshops, kind of stuff where you need to be able to break it down into modules and sections. Even Copilot won't draw me a mind map yet, but I did ask it to do that. It wouldn't do that, but I guess it will one day.
I haven't tried that one for Copilot.
Don't. It doesn't work.
But I do also use it to start my presentations that I'm giving at the conferences.
Yeah.
So I know what subject I want to talk about, and then I start my mind maps to see what I really want to have in there and what do I need to leave out, maybe what do I need to get in extra for it. So
when it comes to business and technology and development and all those kinds of things, we both use mind maps at various times. It's not the only tool we use, to be fair. I mean, you know, we use Loop and stuff like this.
Sticky notes.
Yeah, we like our sticky notes. But when you're actually sitting down with mind maps, it's an interesting process because it's not something you make a quick list of. You need to settle down, relax, get your pen sorted out, get yourself in a frame of mind to start thinking and creating. And start off just the same as everything else by identifying the scope or the points that you're trying to achieve or what you're writing about.
Yes. And that's not always that easy to make that correct starting point. So you really need to think about it, and you will probably start on a mind map and throw it away and start again and throw it away again and start again.
Yes, the advantage of the digital pen, of course.
But the starting point is the most important thing for a mind map.
No, and I agree. And I think one of the reasons that you put images in, if you can, is that the image is not going to tie you down to a set of words. So if you have to create an application that is going to be managing meetings or calendars, or it's going to have something to do with dates, then put a picture of a calendar in there and a star in a box and put a number against it and just say, look, this is about calendars. It's the overall subject that you're trying to do. And then if you want to work out what you want to do about that subject, then you can put a line in as your primary line and call it scope, and then actually use that creative process to sort of expand on what that picture is. So if we're trying to do something around workflows, so we might be trying to ensure that if somebody's got a birthday on a particular kind of day, that you're going to go off and generate an image from ChatGPT or whatever it's called, does the images DALL-E 3. And you're going to make sure it says happy birthday and the name of the person, and then you're going to send it to them in an email. That might be your workflow. So the center image for me will be potentially a face and then a present and a box wrapped up with a big ribbon on it.
I wouldn't use a mind map to break down a workflow.
Why not?
A workflow doesn't feel logical to do it in there.
Logic.
Yes, I'm maybe thinking too much as a developer now, but for a workflow, I would have the steps differently.
Well, to be honest, for a workflow, as a developer, you'll start writing the code immediately.
Yes.
All right, but as a business person providing you with that, what am I going to give you?
Yeah, the business person would make the mind map. True.
So, and then so would you, in fact, or could you? but it depends really how far you want to go. So from my perspective, I would have a mind map, and then I would actually number each lanes for a workflow so that it's, so I don't start off with a logical numbering, but I start off with what I'm trying to achieve. I might end up going backwards. I might actually go, the end result of this is that an email gets sent with an image. So that's my goal, and I put that on usually on the left-hand side because I start on the right, and that's the end process. And I would then identify that as the end and say, look, that's my scope. I'm going to send a congratulatory birthday email with a picture that is created from DALL-E and say, hey, this is a unique picture for you. That's the end result. And because I'm doing it as a mime, I can start wherever I want.
Yeah, true. And you are going to use it then as a communication tool between business and IT.
Correct.
Because you suppose that even business know how to create the mind maps and IT knows how to read them.
One hopes.
No, but most of the time they do know how to read them. So it's actually a quite good communication tool between them.
Yeah, so it certainly is a good way of doing it.
Why didn't we thought about it a few episodes ago?
Because we saved it for this episode. We knew what we were doing. We were not doing, he says, smiling.
No, but it can be a very good solution to break down the communication.
Well, one of the advantages of it, and I'm going to go back to filling out this mind map in a minute or two, but one of the advantages is that you instantly get a visualization that's come out of my head.
Yeah.
All right? Now you get that. Now, if I give you a list to read, I'm going to have to give it you, and you're going to have to take 10 minutes to read it and start taking notes and everything else. Whereas I can already present it to you because, hey, we can go through the map with a pen and a pencil and go, okay, look, this is where I think we need to start. Da, 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 da. This is the effect, and this is how I'm doing this. As a developer, where you're going to do things in a more logical, workflowy kind of order because it's a flow, you can start writing numbers on it. You can go, yeah, no, we do that. That's the first one. That's the second one. That's the third one. So you're putting a layer of logic on top of what was effectively a creative process.
Yep.
So from my perspective, as I said, I'm working out what the end result is. And then I might start, okay, what's the trigger for this? So the trigger for this is 5 days before a date. So I can then sit there and write trigger, and then I can put a line on that says, look, birthday minus 5 days, because you can never do it in one word. And then I would sit there and start to identify where that calendar is maybe and everything else, and then I'm good to go. And then I might think about, so if I've hit that trigger, this is what I want to do next. So I want to be able to go and get a name or whatever. But I can start to say what I want to have in the email, the text that I need to have. I can sit there and talk about whether how it gets stored. I can talk about whether there's any exceptions to a simple workflow or what the requirements or the delegations are. So I can say these are the requirements. So instead of the developer having to go, okay, I'm going to go through this and I'm just going to identify in this text here all the important things, my trigger points or my key points, I've already got them listed on a string within the mind map because I've been able to identify these are the key points or the key somethings that need to be done, which you then, of course, get to correct or add to or take away.
Yes, probably the developer will look at it and will say, hey, we are missing this. What do you want with security or anything else? But it's a good conversation then because we can just you edit in there. And then at the end, you have a very nice image of what you will do.
I think that's true. I think that we have a chair that squeaks every time I lean on it. I can hear it every time I lean on it. I wonder if everybody else can hear that. Maybe they think I'm breaking wind on the podcast. But literally, it's the chair, okay? It's the chair. All right. But yes, we'd be able to share together that mind map, and then you'd be able to identify, hey, there's nothing on security here. And then creatively, the pair of you would be able to sit there and add in that extra line, link it to the key areas for security that we need to think about, and then also identify it. So yes, I think it's, as you say, it's part of that great development and creativity process.
It is, and working together, if business and IT works together on this kind of mind map, it's also easier to go to the management because they are having a very fast view of it as well. and you can explain it to them and you can say, hey, we worked with together about it.
No, I think it's a perfect solution because you can put the mind map up on a PowerPoint presentation. Yes. You can say, actually, this is what we're going to do, boys and girls. And they look at it and go, okay, yeah, I fully understand that, but they don't. But then you can start bringing in shapes on your mind map and build up talking about each of those legs and each what they all are and why they're important to make sure we've got everything covered. And then your next few slides, of course, can start talking in a more logical approach in terms of where they're going, in terms of some of the things that you need to explain and deep dive on. So, yes, they would then be covered there.
So we've talked about how to create a mind map, why it's a good communication between IT and business, but is there a special way of reading them? We know it's just one look at it and it's an image, but how do you going to explain those kind of things to somebody that is totally new with the idea of mind mapping?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer. I guess I would probably use an analogy of the room, your office, your bedroom, your living room. And say, look, you live in there. Tell me, you know, where do you keep a bunch of flowers? Or where do you place your drinking glasses in the kitchen? Or what cupboard do you store your hidden wine bottles mm-hmm. that you don't want your, you know, partner or wife to find because it's your wine? Or your sweetie, hidden sweetie tray in your office. So, and explain to them that it's about visualization. It's about visualizing things and being creative. So yeah. If you need to move your sweeties from your hiding place in the office, where would you move them to? Describe it to me. And then I would, you know, I need to move them behind my book on software development because nobody ever takes that book out the cupboard, you know. But I know where that, people will visualize where that book is and how easy it is to get to on the shelf.
Yeah.
And then so that was creative thinking. So how do we take development of an application and turn that into a creative process? And mind maps are where we do that. So that office space, I would then get them to turn into a mind map.
Yep.
All right. And then sit and say, so where's your sweets hidden now? And then you'll be able to work out the point on the mind map where they're at. And then that would help them understand how I'm visualizing something that's real in that flat piece of paper. That's cool, isn't it? You're blown away by that idea. Most people, when you teach them mind maps, they go cool and then they forget all about it.
But yes, but we know what mind mapping software is. We know what the tool is. But a lot of people out there still don't know it and still wondering what it is and how it can help. So we need to try. That's what we try to do with the podcast.
Explain. Yeah, it is. I think it is. They need to listen to this podcast and they know what a mind mapping tool is.
Yes.
The word podcast won't leave my head tonight. I keep replacing it. Think of any word beginning with G and then replace it with the word podcast. Yeah, okay. That's my logical brain today. But I think it is about helping people to understand that visualization. They may never use it, but at least when you give them a piece of paper, they can understand what it is.
And they can know what you are trying to talk about.
No, that is true. So what is the weirdest thing you've ever tried to put down onto a mind map? Don't ask me the question because I couldn't remember either. I mean, I've used them for so many of them. I have used it to redecorate a house.
I had once at school. Now when we were learning about mind maps, we needed to create a mind map to explain a tree.
A tree?
Yes. I think that's the strangest thing I have ever done.
That's really quite cool because very often mind maps are called tree diagrams. Explain a tree. Yeah. The weird is, this has nothing to do with mind maps, but school. I once had to write a 2-page essay on using the telephone or teaching an alien how to use the telephone.
Try that in a mind map.
That's true. Try it with an alien, never mind anything else. Sort of, yeah, you pick up the receiver and, you know, as a child, you don't see these things because you're just, we're very, as children or as younger people, you're very siloed in your thinking, yeah. That is green, that is purple. And there's no thing associated between the two. So, yeah, pick up the handset. Yeah, but how do you know what a handset is if you're an alien? Ah, yeah. Well, pick up this curved handle with the two big bits at the end of it. Yeah, what's the word curved? So, you know, how do you actually explain it? It's really quite an interesting process. But that would have, yeah. as a mind map, would have been good. But that's not what I've never had to do that with a mind map. I don't know what the weirdest thing is on a mind map. So I still keep my mind maps if I can. I'm fairly sure when I move house in a few months' time, I'm going to come across all kinds of things. So, but there will be a good few mind maps. I like to use mind maps for the feasibility of doing something. Mm-hmm. So is this going to work? Is this going to be possible or not? And just getting down there with a pen and kind of looking at a yes, no, or a maybe kind of scenario.
And the nice thing is you can put in every single ID, and if you then figure out it won't work, you can make the big red cross over that ID.
Yes. I mean, the
and
thing
then
about...
to remember what you were thinking earlier and you tried already.
Yes, I think that being able to sort of cross things off and go, that's no good, or put down arrows against them, I would often say that's a bad idea, that's a good idea. And the other thing I've used it for very often is to make decisions as a decision tree. So these are the options I have available to me, or these are the options somebody else has, or if I did this, then and then I can sit there and consider whether some of this is a good option or a bad option, and eventually put a big red circle around the one that I want to use and that kind of stuff. But the whole thing is it's really a brain dump. What you're trying to do is to get as much knowledge that you have about a particular subject into one pager, into one page. And that can, and that's why it's good for note taking and stuff. Try it. You're in a meeting and you're starting to take notes. Mind maps are awesome for doing that.
It never works out for me in a meeting to make notes in a mind map.
You're doing it wrong then, obviously. Just tell me why it won't work. Why does it not work?
I don't know. Is it the fact that it's the online meeting and it's already hard to focus on that sometimes?
Yeah, you got to just close your visual and think about the what you hear.
So what are your tips to do it in a meeting? For
No, that's a great question. So the reason why it's good for a meeting is, if you think about it, a meeting is a matrix. It's the people in the meeting. Yeah, it's the subjects you're discussing, so your agenda, for want of a better description, and then it's people's opinion on that agenda. So in a meeting, so the first thing I do is people. All right, so my first line is members, and as people either introduce themselves, I'll put their name, and maybe I'll put a bit around the way. So now I have a list of the people that were at the meeting. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I've done. And then there'll be an agenda. I don't actually put the agenda on there, but when a new subject comes up, I will start a subject line and where a new subject has come up. And then I will start a discussion. So when they've we've got the subject list. So when they're talking about something, I would then do a breakdown of that particular subject. Mm-hmm. And then I will start to use a lot of dotted lines to link the people that were involved in those subjects. And then I have another line that is actions. So, hey, these are the actions that have come out of it. All the decisions.
If you do it during your meeting, you don't use the colors?
No. Colors are great if you're trying to be creative, but if I'm note taking, I'm not. I'm just trying to represent what happened in the meeting.
Yeah.
So I don't use the colors. I have done, but it means you've got to keep taking tops and pens and colors off. And the thing you have to remember about taking notes is it's a dynamic thing. It's going to happen in real time around you.
Yes.
You can't suddenly go, let me just think about that for a minute or two. So how am I going to get a request to DALL-E 3 to create an image for this birthday workflow that is within this specification and relevant to this particular individual. So I can stop and think about it and then I can carry on. In a meeting, you can't do that. So changing colors is not a good idea. And more importantly, if you decide, for example, you try something really stupid because you think it's a good idea, like, you know, I've got six people here and six colors. So whenever anybody has a comment, I'm just going to write it in their color. And then you make one mistake. And now what are you going to do? You're going to go over it in a different color. You're going to cross it out and you're going to try and write it in the right color.
Draw away everything. Yeah.
Just say, guys, the note taking's failed. Can we start this meeting again, please? And let's start off with where we're at.
No. But I will try it again in the meetings.
What you have to do is you really have to break down the taxonomy of content in a meeting. So if you did a taxonomy of a meeting, high level, what is involved in that meeting? But listen, you start when I'll go after. You start and I'll go next. Or I'll start and you go next. You want me to start? You're looking at me over your microphone going, please start, you start. All right. So the easy one is the people. That's a taxonomy item. There's going to be people in that meeting.
The agenda as well.
So the subjects being discussed. I think that's a key one. Yes. Time.
Yes.
Time. Time is one of those hidden secrets. I don't know whether I want to tell everybody. It's my hidden secret. Time in a meeting is really cool. The order of discussions of things is not something that many people put in to a meeting.
No.
It's Copilot, of course, does a really good job of telling you who said what at what time in what order. Yes. But within a mind map, putting in a line between two people and a subject or a subject and two people, and then a time, you know, hey, it's 1 minute in, 10 minutes in, 5 minutes in, because that tells you whether the meeting was creative because people kept going back and to talk about that subject multiple times, or, of course, whether you had a logical approach and also how long the meeting took.
It's a very good one.
It is. I like that one. It's a lot. It's what you want to use. But I know what happens with me because the way my brain works is I do it for the first 10 minutes and then I forget.
No, you are just chaotic in everything.
I am. I had a bit of an example of that today. So I'm running a process where we're actually completely changing our data center, which is actually a creative project in many ways, because we're saying, hey, let's assume we have no data center. What would our data center look like and where would we go? And so I've got a number of suppliers in and we're basically using them to help define our strategy, which is all very well and cool. So we had a brainstorming session a few days ago, which we used We used the whiteboard, Microsoft whiteboard, which you can't do very good mind maps with, by the way. Something I'd really love Microsoft to do. But we had a bunch of post-its, all digitally done. And this morning, I was kind of running a bit late, but the meeting was due to start at 8:30. And then I remembered that I had not completed the action of turning all these post-its into a presentation. Don't look at me like that. It's okay. It's the way my brain works. I don't make lists, but very rarely I do get caught. So I did get caught a little bit this morning. So it was a little bit chaotic. But
I'm not surprised of that one.
No, but I didn't really mind because this was the really cool thing, all right? So I had the whiteboard. I had all these post-its on the whiteboard. And we broke them down, so they were fairly solid. Mm-hmm. I just screenshot them. So I told him, screenshot, put it onto a slide, screenshot, put it onto a slide. And I put a little pin in the corner of each one as if they'd been pinned to a board. All right. And then I said, guys, we're going to brainstorm around these subjects. And so they were on the board, bad spellings and everything. It wasn't a polished presentation. But it meant that it already encouraged them to actually treat it as another brainstorm, as if they had. And it really did encourage the conversations.
Yeah, but it's always nice to do it like that or to start conversations like that.
Yeah.
If you would have wrote them out in total of get too much details in there, people won't think about for themselves anymore.
Or I had already decided that I was going to do this in a certain way.
Yeah.
And that chaotic thing didn't do. So even though I knew that's what I had to do, in the end, I did it quite quickly, just about. In fact, I did it while they were finishing their first opening presentations.
I thought you were going to ask Copilot to do it for you.
I did think about that. I seriously did think about that, but in the end, I decided, no, I haven't got time. I did, because you have got Copilot in Whiteboard.
Yes.
All right. And I was, part of me was interested in saying, okay, creatively, what would it give me? And then I thought, yeah, but one, two things. First of all, it might steer me in a particular direction that I don't want to go in. Two, I might go down the rabbit hole and then not have enough time to do what I need to do for the meeting. So I was very strong and went no and stayed away from it.
If you would do it by Copilot, you will end up in Microsoft Loop.
Really? Oh yes, I think I've read that somewhere. I'm going to tomorrow morning, and when I get back to the office, I will do the Copilot thing, just because we're still playing with it and understanding what it's like.
If you just try it, you will end up with Microsoft Loop, and it's actually quite nice.
No, that's true. What would be really very cool for Copilot to do is if it could create mind maps, or if it could read mind maps.
Yes.
So it understood the implications of where the content comes from and what it does.
That would be a very nice...
Could it, I wonder? Interesting. I don't know.
I don't think Copilot is able to read them or create them at this moment in time.
No, it's not. It's not. There's a whole bunch of stuff going to blow our minds over the few years, but at the moment it's not.
And have
there.
You tried another tool instead of Copilot to make a mind map?
I've imported content into a mind map, yes, and then you can drag and drop the items around. So one of the tools, I think it might have been Mind Manager, that allows you to import a bunch of content in. But what you tend to end up with is lots and lots of sentences at the end of all the lines, which is not always the best thing to do.
No, because we already said it's not going to be about sentences in a mind map.
No, it's about words. But that kind of, it'd be interesting. Copilot's an interesting process because it did some things for me the other day I was looking at. But I was thinking that's a bit too high flying. I needed it a bit more common man. So I kind of rephrased it and I said, can you rewrite this as if it's for an engineer? All right. And so, because you're an engineer. No, I'm not going to go down that joke. I won't do that. But it actually used engineering terms, whereas I really wanted it to try and just lower the conversation down a bit. So it took me literally, which is quite cool. Anyway, we got distracted onto Copilot and things.
I do
and when
think
we were
Copilot
talking about
would be
tools.
A nice subject for another podcast.
I think so, especially the way it creates code and all that kind of stuff through GitHub and everything else. I think we've got both sides of that process.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. But you do need to have content written. So if it's a brand new application, how do you get Copilot to talk about the application?
That will be difficult.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to work out where it goes. Anyway, we have been talking about mind maps. We've been talking about the way of taking and documenting a created process.
Yes.
That's actually what we're doing. I've not thought about that before. As I said, it's the way the brain works. So consequently, it helps your memory. It also links things in a different way than a list won't. And that's basically, we can collaborate over the same piece of information.
Yes, and they work out very well for us because when we were in Bremen, the road trip home, we created a mind map in the car
we
as well.
We did, because it was generating questions as we was going through it. So we've been talking for nearly 50 minutes, so we're getting close to the end of this. So I have one very, very crucial question for you. Do we believe in mind maps?
Yes.
You really, truly, 100% believe in mind maps? Now you're trying to work out what I'm getting at.
For the way for working purpose, yes.
Okay.
And for reading them and getting information passed by to other people in a creative way, yes.
Okay. And are these podcasts creative?
Yes.
So where's the mind map for this podcast? Oh, look, there's a list of things that we're going to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't do them for the podcast.
No, it's just an
interesting... The fun thing about the podcast, we put on some keywords on the list and then we start talking. We don't do too much preparation for it. It's on the fly.
No, but I think we should change that.
Oh, so you want to create a mind map about this podcast of creating
mind
maps? No,
but when we sit down and work out what we want to do next time on the podcast, we should do it as a mind map, not a list.
We can.
It was just interesting. I mean, I said earlier that I don't always remember to do it, and it's just easier sometimes to get your post-it out and write down a couple of words and stick it to your screen to remember you to do something. And I think mind mappers, that's one of the things that's missing more than anything else around the mind map space, around that creative space, is how do you involve your creativity into your daily kind of work, your note taking or everything else, without those, as you say, you don't want to use different colors in meetings because it's kind of a bit of an overhead.
Yeah.
So, but how do you, have you ever mapped your day as a calendar in a mind map? That's a fabulous exercise.
No.
Because you just pin it up on the wall by the side of your desk and you've got a constant view of what your day is and you prioritize them and you make notes what you need to do. It is very good, but it does take off an hour at the beginning of your day. But it does set your day up.
I use Copilot for it, but that's
I know you
thing.
Do. That is true, yes. I'd be interesting. We'll try DALL-E 3 and see whether we can actually create a mind map of something.
Yes.
There maybe it's a stage process. So, hey, you know, summarize my meetings and what my points are for each of those meetings. It creates a list which you can then import into a mind map program. But I'm just finding a way of making it work rather than a seamless process. But that's all part of
it. It's better that users start creating the mind map from scratch from the meeting than instead of let them being imported by some AI.
True. Actually, it's a habit we've got into, isn't it?
Yes, but creating a mind map is, if you start creating the map, it's also starting a process of better remembering those kind of things.
It is great for doing that. If I need to prepare for a conference and I need to say things, then the mind map is the way to go.
Yeah, that's why also for that meeting, if you have the transcription from Copilot like we have nowadays, put it in a mind map yourself instead of let AI do it for you, because then you better remember what is being said and you know where the meeting was about.
And I think that brings us to probably the closing comment for the podcast, really, is that the mind map creation is a creative process.
It is.
It's not an end result. It's the journey that's important.
It is, and it stimulates your brain to think more about it in detail, because you can't do anything wrong in there. If you are making a summary by word by word by word, and you do it wrong, or you have the wrong combination of words in there, or anything else, you need to start over again. In a mind map, you just can say a red cross above it or something. All right, this wasn't right. Let's go move on to the next one.
No, I agree entirely. All right, just so to recap, mind maps. It's a very, very cool tool, whether you're talking from a business perspective or whether you're dealing with it as a developer to try and outline the overall plan. It's a great collaboration tool. We've identified that.
Great for communication.
Yeah. So there you go. So you need to learn how to do mind maps, and maybe if we ever get around to turning this into a session, we'll be able to give people mind map lessons at a collab days in the future.
That would be nice.
That would be cool. All right, we're going to say goodbye. It's, I don't know, episode who cares of Fusion Talk. I think we're at 7 or something along those lines. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Steve Dolby's going to say hi and bye.
Goodbye from Anouk.